Yeah, I can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Always remember, whatever you have trained, developed, stabilize it. The inner awareness, inner peace, inner calmness is the initial mind state that your mind will be in. Then as you stabilize it, that tranquility will arise. The mind that is tranquil and still without thought is your true mind. And it's very easy to be in that state when you have the understanding. Why you want to think? Think also like that, don't think also like that, then why think? Understand? Just let it be. Everything will slow down. If you don't give it any more thought energy, it will slow down. Then enjoy, experience that state. Because that state is like completely cool. Not the very chaotic, hot, mundane, non-stop, restless mind. That mind that think a lot, non-stop thinking, heedless, no point. Then the other one you have to remember is, remember every movement, activity, yeah, and action you do, your kaya activity, movement, standing, looking forward, turning, moving, even when you want to turn around or do anything, even your blinking of your eye, your facial movement activity. Yeah, when you are relaxed, there's a lot of activity. Yeah. And all your kaya is in the state of activity and movement. So you just silence your mind. Your mindfulness is with all this movement where you are not thinking. But if you are thinking, you cannot be aware. So always remember. So when you can, everything also maintain awareness, you progress very fast as well. A lot of new people have tried. Some listen to my video, never met me. They also develop it. A very good example is Cindy. She came, I think, the last retreat. She learned on herself. Then she remembered what I mentioned. Moment you wake up, when you become conscious, aware. Aware of what? Your body on the bed. Then how you move, how your thought manifests, aware. Most of you are not aware. Wake up, panic, look at the clock, or what time. There's some time that Yun Chan goes through. Suddenly, people on the light, or your alarm ring. Means you hardly aware. When you are aware, that tactile consciousness that trigger, whether alarm or the light or whatever, or even loud sound. You're aware, no need to do anything. Then from there, you look at the mundane mind. Through memory, you will try to find out what that thing is. Yeah. But when you have awareness, that movement you can see. Then there is no urgency. Then you maintain awareness of the body. Then how you want to come out from it, how your hand move. Where if you have a blanket or a comforter, how your hand move away and how you move the comforter. When you do, your awareness and all those action is one. Means you are not thinking. Then how you turn, support your bed, then how you arise, and how you sit on the bed, and how you stand. Initially, do it a bit slower. Never mind. Then how you develop the intention to go to the washroom. Actually, it's the tactile consciousness, the bladder, that gives you the urgency. Then the urgency condition you to go to the washroom. And most people move out of the bed without knowing what is going on. You are hardly aware. Then when you decide to go to the washroom, you no need to hurry on. No matter how full the bladder is, no need to hurry on. Then you just arise, mindful. When you are mindful, things become different. Then how you walk, bodily movement, activity, how your hand go and open the washroom door, how you push it in, then how you move in, and how you answer nature's call, everything away. Then while you doing whatever kiosk, maintain awareness. So you can be aware most of the time. Initially it's at home because you are alone or you are with your family member, no outsider to distract you. So if you do that, I guarantee you, you will progress. Especially after retreat. After retreat, when you go back to your normal daily activity or daily duty, means you return back to society. If you are still working, you have to go to your office or do your career. If you are already not working, you have to do your duties. As a housewife, you can maintain mindfulness too. Like my wife, she maintain mindfulness. She take care of the breakfast, then of course lunch, dinner, normally we eat outside. But a lot of work in the house, household chores. So she always tell me, I'm very busy, a lot to do. The gardening also she do, the washing of the car also she do, then wash clothes, wash a lot of things. But she always tell me, the washing machine wash, not she wash. But still need to dry it, understand not? Then need to collect it, need to fold it, and a lot of work. You can maintain mindfulness, then you are okay. Then every day you got an altar, pay respect when you wake up. Then your religious routine. When you maintain mindfulness, you can develop your religious routine. The moment you wake up, pay respect, triple gem. No need to go altar also can. If it's, your bed is not around the altar there, then you can just pay respect any direction. Because the Buddha's nature, they are in the midst of nature. So any direction you face, you pay respect. Do it mindfully with awareness. Then all the activity, we choose aware, all action, all movement, and all activity in the present moment. Then learn to be aware. Aware means what? Like morning exercise. Yeah? The movement and your mind move as one. You can only do that if you don't think. You are not heedless. So don't try to multitask. Multitasking is the work of the mundane mind. But when you are aware, you can actually see a lot of things, understand a lot of things. There's a lot of clarity. And you become more efficient. Yeah. Then after that, you decide to sit for a while after you answer nature's call. Then you sit. Before you sit, you can chant. Arahang, Sama, Sambuddho, Bhagava, all those things, salutation. Then pay your respect. Then you sit. Then you recite the refuges. Buddhang, Saranang, Gacchami. Then you renew your precepts. Then after that, sit, meditate. You want to do mind swing method also can, radiate metta also can. Initially, 15 to 20 minutes, good enough. Later on, you become more skillful. You can do it for half an hour. Then when you got into the rhythm, you can do it for 45 minutes. Actually, if you lie down, you don't want to do sitting. 45 minutes is very fast. Very fast. And you're fully alert. Then after that, you're very fresh. Then like Wai Fan can tell you, you feel energized. Understand? Not tired. So this is how awareness-based meditation can be developed. Then after that, you from there, come out, go about doing your daily chores, duty or whatever, but maintain mindfulness. Yeah. Then before you leave your house, pay respect, triple gem, mindfully. Then how you leave your house, maintain mindfulness. If you drive a car, how you go and look for your car key? And also now they may be keyless, alarm or whatever. Feel it. Understand how your hand move and take aware. Don't think, lost in thought. Then when you hold it, your hand activity aware. Then how you move out, how you wear your shoe aware. I tell you, you do that, stabilize it, your mindfulness become fantastic. I remember the year 1988, end of 88. I was doing this daily mindfulness. Within 2 weeks it came. Initially very difficult, split second the thought move away, wander off. But determined to be aware. Every time the mind wanders out, determined, come back. Like Krishnamurti said, the moment you are aware that you are not aware, that means you are aware. Understand? When you are aware that you are heedless, means the awareness is there. Yeah. So every time you intend to be aware, that awareness is there. So if you do it until this mind listen to you, like you decondition the heedless thinking, then it will come. And when it comes, suddenly you will see. Even when you do bowing also same, or walking meditation, just walk naturally, maintain awareness. Then when the sati comes, you will know. You bow until body and mind as one, no thought. Walk also same, until body and mind one. Then when the mind enters sati, you can see everything. Just like Brother Wong described. A lot of things inside there. So, awareness-based meditation is very powerful and very fantastic. But you must do it. Okay? Promise. Who want to promise? Very good. Sadhu. You promise the Buddha, not me. You make sure you don't break the promise. Because my teacher Ajahn Yantra did the same. No? The whole brick field there, I think about 1,000 devotees, full, back. Then he said, who want to promise to do the highest meditation, daily mindfulness? Without hesitation, I raised my hand. Then I realized there was another guy. Only two of us. Then he smiled and said, good, you promised the Buddha, not me. So when you promise the Buddha, you have to fulfill it. It's for your own good. It's not for anything else. If you can do that, actually the real one is daily mindfulness. Once you stabilize, you are home. You are already heedful. Means you can see a lot of things. You can understand a lot of things. Then all the things that I share come from the stable daily mindfulness, the silent mind. You will understand or not. Oh. Because the Dhamma is like that. It's not the knowledge that goes in. It's the mind that can see, awaken. So we call direct seeing, we call insight into the universal characteristic, silent observation of what is. All these are words, but they point towards not using the mundane thinking. Understand or not? That one cannot go beyond thought, beyond time. That one is thought-based. So you have to be in the state of sati. That's why don't underestimate daily mindfulness. You think, do like no meaning. No vipassana, no jhana, no all the fantastic meditation name. No. It is all this that I say. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Maintain awareness. Develop it. The daily mindfulness come, everything fall into place. You yourself will understand. The form and mind that has sati will know that there is sati. And it will match with my definition. Awareness before the knowing. Can you be aware of something or perceive something without thought? If you cannot do that, means you don't have sati. Not stable yet. So bear in mind. This one is part of tomorrow's program actually. Finally, when you go back, how you actually can develop what we call the stability of cultivation. So my teacher called it daily religious routine. Do you know what is religious routine? Yeah? Chan, come and write. Well, write until no place. Eh? Daily religious routine. You know what is a religious routine? Eh? If you are religious, spiritual, every day you have to do one. Like your daily life, your duty. What do you do throughout the day? This one is you incorporate this daily religious routine. Means our puja, our respect, all these are meritorious action. Then meditate, then develop the ability to be aware. That one, according to the Buddha, he told the king, happiness in the here and the after. Because the king wants to know, is there anything that can really give us happiness in the here and the now and the next life? The Buddha, yes, heedfulness. Then he gives the analogy, the elephant footprint that holds all of the human footprint. So that one is the one, the analogy that confirmed to you that if you develop heedfulness, you will never die. The heedful will not die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So never, never, ever allow yourself to be heedless again. Constantly lost in thought, creating psychological time non-stop. Why can't you be in the timeless? Without thought, you are in the timeless. When you are at the pure awareness and nature, you are in the timeless, understand? Where you don't think. So if you can be in the timeless, which is without thought, that state is tranquility, stillness of mind, clarity, luminous, beautiful. That state of mind also you don't want to find out that this is real or not. Compared to the hot, agitated, mundane thinking, the mundane mind, the mano, the one that create havoc. People call it the monkey mind. You know what is a monkey mind? Eh? Sun Wukong, monkey, god, you call it god. Oh, now they call na zha. Now is the new one, na zha, in China. I know, that na zha also everywhere. Then he very easily angry. So, a lot of character has been created. That's why it becomes so popular. But it's still mind-made. Please remember. When you're silent, you can see. You can enjoy the show, no problem. But you are not deceived and deluded by it. That is what understanding life means. Okay? So now we continue. Page 34.
The second paragraph.
Yeah.
The Buddha shared Dhammapada verse 2.
Oh, this one finished already.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Today, Brother Chin Hao texted me something interesting. Later, I will share with you all on my Kalinyanamita's WhatsApp platform. Someone who listened to my YouTube sharing on the topic Hasutra Lesson 1 wrote to me. He said he has a Christian background. After listening to this particular sharing of mine, he wrote to thank me. He wrote, "Thank you, Brother Teo. As a layperson with a Christian background, your explanation of the Buddhist teachings brings clarity to me that I can live with better wisdom to mitigate and hopefully end suffering in this earthly existence. Will you all not rejoice with me hearing this? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu." He has a Christian background and has never met me before. Just by listening to my first Heart Sutra class sharing, he can develop such profound understanding. That is really amazing. Someone totally new to Buddhist teachings can develop such profound understanding so quickly. In this first Heart Sutra class sharing, I expounded the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths. I elaborated on it during that class sharing, and I remembered that it was very beautiful. Because of that, he was able to develop that clarity of understanding on how to live life. So he had the intention to change for the better based on what he had heard and understood to mitigate and hopefully end suffering. Now he can see the possibility of freeing himself of suffering in this very life. In this context, to mitigate is to lessen suffering so that hopefully the end of all suffering is possible. When you have the true understanding of all this teaching that I have shared, pointing to the whiteboard, all this can be realized. He had not even come to the pure awareness nature cultivation, referring to the whiteboard. Yet it can benefit him so much. He had only heard about the Four Noble Truths, the Heart Sutras, preliminary teachings, where I mentioned Dhammapada verses 1 and 2. That itself was enough for him to understand the importance of being heedful and the importance of training his mind to be aware and mindful, leading to heedfulness and to experiencing and understanding present moment awareness. Now, looking back, my understanding leads me to question how a being can have this type of understanding 2,600 years ago. That is only possible if he is the real Sammasambuddha. Nobody else in this existence can summarize all of his understanding into just the Four Noble Truths and spin off the whole teaching. That is why in the year 1971, after I read the book What Buddhists Believe, first edition, written by our late Chief Reverend Dr. K. Siridhamananda, I was full of joy. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths in that book, my nature told me that there is no further need to search for the truth. Because of my past cultivation, straight away I understood what that teaching was all about. To me, it is the secret of life, because it explains the complete understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. That is why after that, my nature went all out to develop the cultivation of that teaching without turning back. Later, I follow up by renewing my Bodhisattva vows to continue with the supreme vehicle cultivation. In 1989, after my nature connected, all the understanding from my spiritual nature came back to me. Then, everything just fell into place. It was as though it was meant to be. That is why I used to share with you all that in this life, in this segment of my nature's coming, I actually did not do anything. I just accord and flow. Do you understand why I say that? It is because the causes and conditions are already there, and everything is as though pre-planned and set in place by my nature's past cultivation, wisdom, understanding, aditana, or strong determination, affirmation, and of course the vows. That is why this coming, the conditions and everything else just fell into place. That is why this teaching is very profound and unique. Hopefully in today's sharing, please remember to listen to my nature's teaching again and again to develop the stability of understanding. This new understanding is complete and comprehensive. It will revolutionize a lot of our Kalyanamita's understanding. Okay, Brother Song, please continue. Sadhu.
No song.
Sadhu.
Do you understand this statement or not? This new understanding is complete and comprehensive. It will revolutionize a lot of Kalyanamita's understanding. But in the early day, a lot of the later teaching cannot come out. That's why with this teaching, your understanding will be revolutionized. And all these things you cannot find in books. A lot of all this that I share. And these are all related to life. Very, very useful to understand life and live life. And all the important pointers that can lead to awakening, they are all there. So you just have to develop the faith and sincerely develop the understanding and cultivate. Very fast you will progress. Okay? Okay, Manya, continue.
Brother Song in English translation. When this psychological time arises, the world also arises. When consciousness arises, the world also arises. So, all the Dharma also arises. The Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Aggregates of Form and Mind, etc. Everything is already there. Brother Theo said, yes, because thinking is in psychological time and thought consciousness. Therefore, when they arise, the phenomenal world of consciousness, which is the world, also arises. All Dharma mentioned by Brother Theo, such as the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, all dualities like good and evil, etc., are included because everything is mind-made. Brother Song in English translation. Brother Theo, I want to share something from 2 months ago when I was listening to your Dharma talk. When I heard Brother Theo mention duality, the word struck me. Later on, my understanding of this word changed. I thought about how each of us in this world is constantly playing the game of duality. Suddenly, I understood. For example, as cultivators, we often hear others mention that when they experience unfavorable meditative outcome, they will say, my meditation is very bad. We always crave for good meditative experiences. Then, when we dislike or reject those unfavorable meditative experiences, we manifest a type of negative craving like hatred, dislike, and aversion. At that moment, I understood that my craving for good meditation experiences is another form of craving that had conditioned my aversion and dislike. Brother Theo said, yes, the opposite manifests itself. That is why the Buddha also explained this duality teaching in the Theravada tradition. It is similar to the duality teaching of the yin and yang as taught by Lao Tzu. The Buddha described it by saying, imasmi sati idam hoti, imasmi asati idam na hoti. Samyutta Nikaya 12.61, meaning when this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. It means that when you create good, obviously whatever that is not good is bad, which is it is its opposite will manifest. Is that not so? That is why you tend to have good and bad meditation. Meditation is not about clinging on to good meditative experiences or rejecting bad meditative experiences. It is about developing the understanding and the wisdom to awaken. That is why I always say only wisdom can free you. It has nothing to do with this duality created by thought. Thoughts, true words, ideology, and concept create duality of the yin and yang to divide. So when you see this duality in your present stage of cultivation, it means you will start to penetrate the Dharma because this is the beginning. After that, you will see the profound beauty of the Buddha's teaching on duality. When this arises, that arises. It applies to all circumstances in life because all dualities are the same. Venerable Shen Xiu was caught up in the same problem because he held on to all wholesome mind states. That is why he said that all these defilements are like dust. He thought that the mundane mind in the state of sati is the true mind, and that the mundane mind must be polished until it shines so that no dust can collect. How can you do that? When you cling on to wholesome mind states, whatever that is not wholesome mind states, the opposite, which is defilement, will arise. If it arises, how can you do away with it or try to kill something that you have created? You cannot, because they are a pair. You must go beyond or transcend duality to make them both cease. That is, when you do not create one side, the opposite cannot arise, because the moment this arises, that arises. That is why the Buddha said, imas min sati idam hoti. And then he said, imas mi asati idam na hoti. Meaning, you must cease both by not creating duality. You must transcend all duality. In the opening statement of the Buddha's first sermon, as recorded in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha say that we should avoid the two extremes of self-mortification and sensual indulgence. These are dualities. So, how do you avoid them? The first way is through the normal teaching, to avoid all evil and do good. This is thought-based. The second way is to transcend duality. When you can transcend duality, you can also avoid the two extremes. But how do you transcend duality? The Buddha said, imas min sati idam hoti, meaning when this arises, that the other aspect of the duality will also arise, because whatever that is not this is the opposite of what you have created. That is why it is called a duality. Then the Buddha continued, imas mi asati idam na. Imas min asati idam na hoti. Meaning, when this ceases, that ceases. So, your solution is to develop the wisdom to realize that they are duality created by thoughts, hence not a reality. This is created by the mundane mind based on conventional truth. So, if they believe in those dualities created by thoughts, you will hold on to the good and try to avoid or push away the negative, which is bad. Then, what will happen to you? You will be forever chasing and fighting duality, both of which will lead to suffering, as both are cravings, positive and negative. That is why I say, any good states and experiences, especially pleasure, are also a prelude to suffering. Why? Because you will cling on to them through memory. You may think that this experience is very nice, good and special, and you want it to be repeated in the future. So we archive it. But when you cannot get what you want, you will be afflicted. That is why it is a prelude to suffering. Suffering will arise when you hold on to all good mind states, the positive, the wholesome, and other pleasurable and amazing states that you crave, not realizing that if you do that, the opposite will surface and you will be caught. That is why when you cannot get what you want, and when things do not go your way, suffering will be the result. That is the first noble truth's seventh reality.
Seventh reality.
Therefore, understand that all this is to free you after you have developed this wisdom, the wisdom to transcend duality, meaning not to crave, cling, and create. That is the reason why I used to share with all of you the importance of understanding why there is no right and no wrong.
You remember Omang Guangqing Laohasang, Master Guangqing, his famous verse is what? 对也接受,不对也接受. So to him, no right, no wrong. These are the reality you have to accept. Well, based on convention, people interpret it as right. And some interpret it as wrong. So right according to who? Wrong according to who? It's relative, it's not an absolute convention. So because it's relative, It is created by the thought. It's a duality, actually. So when you understand right and wrong is a duality, then why you want to play that game? You know, during the early days, there was, I think, Brother Song's friend. What's her name? Choi Polai. Polai. Song and her colleague, I think, then he asked Song free for dinner. Song said, no, I'm attending Dharma class. Huh? Dharma class. He said, I also want to join. Then she came. That lesson, after that, he come and talk to me. He wait for everybody to go home, no, almost midnight. He left with Song and her and me. Then he asked me. He said, Brother Teo, your teaching is very profound. Is it? Very beautiful, is it? Then she told me the story, you know, because the Four Noble Truths explained so clearly how suffering arises. He said, the mother deluded, create a lot of this type of sankhara, and every time entangle and suffer. You know. So he tried to explain to the mother, you are playing the game of suffering, he said. 玩痛苦的游戏, you know what is 痛苦的游戏? You use the mundane mind and everyday play game. No? You are playing the game of suffering. Is that what you want? Because everything also got right and wrong, the mother. You shouldn't do this, you should do that. Then complain about the husband. No? But the husband bully her. No? And she cannot do anything. Ask Polai to come and help her also. So Polai, after so many times, explain to her so she cannot understand. Well, Polai see it very clearly. This is playing the game of suffering. We are attached. Understand not? Want the husband to change but cannot do anything because the husband very authoritative, very aggressive, very garang. Then every time, the daughter is the best. Soft-hearted and always come back. So that sharing was very good. Then he said, this teaching is very beautiful. She actually is, I think, she also teach something. What was it? Massage. Energy massage. Later on, she also do that. But you see, people who has the affinity, the Dhamma, you can see, they listen to just the sharing on, you know, on the Four Noble Truths, no, mainly First and Second Noble Truths. Then they understand, no, they develop the joy and the, the interest. No. Then they can come to the conclusion very fast. No. Yeah, he said, this is the game of suffering. Because the whole world is full of this type of people playing this game. Isn't it? So when you see clearly, you wake up. And this is before able to connect to the pure awareness nature. Just through observation and listening attentively. Not really that heedless. And they can understand. Also from past life cultivation. Otherwise cannot. So this is a very good example about duality. Manya, continue.
According to the Buddha, things are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Why do you say that he is wrong? Similarly, foolish people do foolish things, and heedless people do heedless things, while wise people do wise things. They are just the way they are. Living beings and nature's conditions are just the way they are. That is why the Buddha said that thing is just the way it is, or things are just the way they are. That is the truth, which is the reality. That is suchness, the isness of things. Ta ta ta. You cannot go against it. Why do you want to create duality to define it differently? This profound understanding is what the Buddha wants us to realize. It means that when this wisdom is developed, you will not be trapped by duality and Such delusion will not affect or afflict you anymore. The truth is that within that moment, things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. When you understand this, it implies suchness seeing. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise, because that is the reality. Then, why is the mundane mind acting like a busybody saying, this is right and this is wrong? Then, division, argument, conflict, suffering, misery and misunderstanding can arise to condition sufferings. That is how the chaotic phenomena world comes to be, and how the world of ours has so many problems, wars and conflict, due to disagreement over ideology, differences of opinions, etc. All these are created by the mundane mind through delusion, through ignorance. So, seeing all this, realizing all this with your pure awareness within, you will penetrate duality in no time, because this is the true beginning of transformation for all of you, after you can follow and understand all this sharing on duality. Brother Song, now that you can see it already, that is why you can use your own words to explain what you now understand. But the deeper meaning that I have just explained is to help take you beyond duality, to transcend all dualities, which means to see things as they are through the direct seeing. Just like what the Buddha said, to see things as they are, with suchness seeing, to see the reality, to see what is. So, things are the way they are. These words of wisdom can awaken you. Once awakened, all this reality will have no more meaning. In the first place, who created them? The deluded and foolish ones. But we must also understand, we live in a conditioned world where dualities exist. As I have always explained, duality exists within the conditioned world, the existential world, and you cannot avoid duality while here because that is for living. You cannot simply quote the Dharma and say that we must transcend duality because there is no right, no wrong. Then you will argue with people. That is still a one-sided understanding. That is why we have the three types of seeing as stated in the Mahayana teaching. Can you remember them? The three levels of seeing. First level, Kan San Si San, seeing mountain as mountain. This is mundane seeing. Second level, Kan San Bu Si San, seeing mountain as not mountain. This is supra mundane seeing. Third level, Kan San Yu Si San, seeing mountain as mountain again. This is suchness seeing. Why? When the enlightened one comes and says there is no mountain, you will agree and say yes, there is no mountain. That is to say Kan San Bu Si San is true supra mundane.
Better let me pronounce. Kan San Bu Si San, not san. Kan San not the sun. Kan San Bu Si San.
It's true supra mundane seeing, and he is also right. When the enlightened one comes and says that through his mundane seeing,
okay, Kan San Si San,
you will also agree and say yes.
Kan San, you will also agree and say yes. Kan San Si San. And you become different because you have transcended duality through your wisdom. That is why
this suchness seeing is without duality. No right, no wrong, through seeing things as they are. That is the real awakening, the real wisdom. Okay? Very good. You brought up some very good condition for all this to be explained again. Brother Teo continued.
Hey, Brother Song.
Oh, Brother Song, sorry.
Every day think of Brother Teo. Okay, don't worry. Go.
Brother Song said, Later, I developed my meditative understanding to realize that if we do not develop awareness when we live our daily lives, we will be caught in duality and we cannot get out of it. I realize these are our deluded habitual tendencies.
Yes, very true. Repeated again and again. And this is the reason why we are all caught in it. So go through this, wake up, Anasana. Read on, Manya.
To my understanding, if we wish to come out of it, we need a very stable mindfulness base. Stabilizing this mindfulness to develop the wisdom is most important. Then only can we develop acceptance through wisdom. Acceptance must come first before we can act following the Dharma way.
Yes, very good.
By applying the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all things amicably. Act according to the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha to end all our suffering. This is the fourth noble truth. Brother Theo said, yes, acceptance through wisdom after understanding the truth and the reality through seeing things as they are is crucial. To do that, we must understand the Buddha's teaching. You must develop the deeper understanding of what the Buddha actually meant when he said that you must learn to see things as they are with Nana Dasana, the direct knowledge of vision of the reality, meaning tatata or suchness seeing. When you can see things as they are, it means you can understand this stanza. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind.
So now, can you penetrate this stanza? Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Means what? The nature's law that governs life existence, all already set. The causes and conditions already set. The movement will be that direction. That is the reality. That's why it's suchness. That is the teaching, Anasana. Because ours is a conditioned world. Everything arises and manifests based on the law of dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not so real. It's a phenomenal world. Mind make ade, consciousness. Come and go, arise and pass away. Like the cinema show. But you get excited over the thing because they can animate until so real. Like the great magician, the illusionist, create illusion for you to see you somehow excited and go in and join the fun, play the game of suffering. That is real delusion, understand? Avijja. You know what is avijja? No? Ignorant of the truth, ignorant of the Dhamma teaching. So Dhamma is very important. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life, then you can live life. Otherwise, you entangle yourself. The Hokkien say, every now and then, long bia. You know what is long bia? No? Jong back. You harm yourself, you hurt yourself, understand? For nothing. Because you hit the law and thought, ding, suddenly hit the wall. or drop into the drain. you preoccupied with your thought process. And this is illusion, and yet you think it's real, no? Ayo, my problem, no? I have to resolve it, no? Then what you do? You hold on to that so-called problem in your thought. It's like the red hot thing. When you hold, it burns you and torments you in there. But physically, you can feel, you know, you dare not hold, no? The moment you touch it, you will let go, no? But at the thought level, you grasp until song. Of course, in between, you bo song. And the foolish thing is very clear that if this is your problem, burning you, tormenting you, causing you suffering and misery, sometimes fear, phobia, sorrow, lamentation, what must you do? Not to say let go. If you don't have the wisdom, you cannot let go. Put it down first, understand? Don't hold, understand? Put it down first. Because you are deluded, you cannot let go. Who let go? The person who don't have the wisdom want to let go, the thought tell you, let go, don't hold. The thought, definitely, because he don't have wisdom, he let go. That's why I say, if you hear people saying this, mean they don't understand. Because who let go? If you attach only, you need to let go. If you have wisdom and you don't attach, is there a need to let go? I can accept things as they are. I can see things as they are. No more delusion. How can I go and hold and practice letting go? You see the fallacy or not? You don't have to. Only deluded one have to practice letting go. Because they don't know the danger of holding. So when I explain to you now, you can see it. Because physically, it burns you, it torments you. So you put it down first. But it doesn't mean that your problem is gone, no. Because this is still haunting you, no. First noble truth reality. And then, you put it down means you don't hold. Don't hold means you don't attach, you don't cling. Then, you are not in the negative state of mind. Understand not? You are not complaining. You are not reacting. You are not creating all the wrong thought to trigger off your suffering. So when you put it down, it no longer burn you, torment you, means you have clarity of mind to look at the thing. Then you ask yourself, what happened? Trace the origination factor. Now, like the Buddha said, because that thing you perceive with negativity, you create your own fear, your own worry, and you say, this is my problem. Then you want to solve that problem. To solve that problem, basing on your ignorance and delusion, you cannot solve. Understand? You will continue to worry and hope. That's why it keeps on coming to haunt you, the thought. When you have financial problem, health problem, relationship problem, first noble truth reality problem, you cannot be in a state of peace. That thought keep on haunting you, especially financial problem. You worry a lot, then sometimes cannot sleep. Then panic attack, fear, worry, anxiety. So this will haunt you. But if you put it down, then you observe, then you ask yourself, what actually happened? Then you have the Dhamma, then you will trace the origination factor, realizing that you have clinged onto the five aggregate of form and mind. Understand now? One of them. And this five aggregate, the most powerful one is your Sankara. Understand now? But that fellow is a magician. Vijnanang is a magician, but the content itself is the one that creates wrong thought. Understand? With the evil. Then you realize you attach to what you hear, what you see, or what you recollect through these three senses. No, you cannot accept what happened. Then you react to it. That's why you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Then you say, this is my problem. But you keep on holding it through the thought, no, coming to haunt you. This is attachment, no. This is what the Buddha meant by clinging, grasping, holding. That's why no peace. So what you have to do is you understand that this is tormenting you, torturing you, and causing you so much suffering. Put it down. Understand? Put it down means not let go yet. The problem is still there. Understand? Then ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably? If I don't have the Dhamma, I will continue to use my thought to analyze. Understand? Sometimes through the thinking analysis, it can give you partial solution. Understand? Partial solution means what? Like financial problem. You got money, financial problem is not a problem, is it? Because whatever money can resolve is not a problem. But if you don't have money, then how? Sometimes because of delusion, coming past, the coming condition, you dare to go and borrow from loan shark. Of course, last time it's Chetia lah. Then now, loan shark. You go to bank will not lend you. Well, bank every time asks for collateral. So when you do that, you become more and more entangled. That's why I say, you use thought, it doesn't work. Then sometimes the thought can give you idea. Yeah. You, like somebody with wisdom come and tell you, last time a lot of the so-called initial day, the Kayamita is very new. They got financial problem. They come and see me. Quite a number. These are the people who also attend this retreat. So what happened was, when they have financial problems, they don't know how to resolve. They came and see me. Then when they came and see me, I just tell them, because one of the case, I think one lady, no need to mention him. I think he entangled with the brother. Then they go and become personal guarantee. Then somehow cash flow problem, then it will lead to all this. So there was a lot of fear, worry. Then another lady, not a Kayamita, he worked in an office. She also kena harassed, worked in a bank, then given a love letter, means asked to resign, forced to resign. Because she harassed another colleague in the office, then the colleague complained, then he was given a love letter. So he was full of fear, scared of losing her job. He came and see me, trembling with another friend, colleague. Somebody brought her. So all this financial problem, actually very easy to resolve. Because it's not a crime, you understand not? You understand not? As long as you tell the court, I want to pay, but I don't have the money to pay. They cannot do anything to you. At the most, they put you bankruptcy. You understand not? But don't use this to go and borrow and get yourself into trouble. Because these are the karmic thing. You have to pay. Finally, you have to pay. So when I told her that, then I say you can go to industrial court and file a complaint. Very likely, you will win one. But you must prepare your case. After I say that, she calmed down completely. The fear, everything, no more. Then the other one is involving the Kayamita one. They know how to handle it already. Because worst case scenario is bankruptcy lah. Is it something life and death? It's no longer life and death, isn't it? You tell the court, I want to pay, but I don't have money to pay. Then normally they will, creditor will talk to you. Like I got one case, another Kayamita, the niece, borrow from the bank with your credit card. So juggling credit card, 3-4 credit card. End up, the recession came, the real estate agent cannot have sales, no commission, don't have money to pay the installment. Because what happened is, as a property agent, he saw the client making money, understand not? Then during boom time, he also go and buy property. Initially buy one. At that time, got business, can pay the installment. Then after that, greedy, buy another one. Then two already. During good times, still can pay. But during bad time, recession, no sale, nothing. Then you know what she did or not? Cannot pay, scared default. Cash advance from credit card. One credit card not enough, go second credit card. Then third credit card, like the magician juggling the credit card. So finally, the whole thing burst out already. Panic, fearful, until the uncle, they all know. Then they corner her. And she been a good person, relative got problem or he wants to help. Well, last time when he was young, he got no money to go overseas to study. One or two of the uncle helped him to get some initial money to go. That's why he got gratitude. So he went and helped. But he's an accountant now. He's very smart. He said, okay, I help you. You make sure you don't repeat this nonsense again. The niece, of course, said yes. Then he went with her to the bank. He said, she got no money. She's going to default. You want to file bankruptcy? Go ahead. Then after that, the manager said, then why you come and see me? Well, I am the uncle. I want to help him, help her resolve this. But I need to talk to you, he said. Yeah. Can you agree or not? Waive all the interest. Yeah? Then the principal, 50% haircut. The bank look at him. Cannot lah. Management won't agree. He told the manager, I'm an accountant now. It's better to collect back half without the interest than to write off and become bad debt now. The manager heard this. Okay, I try. Bring up to management. Management quickly agree, you know, but must be settled in cash. He said, no problem. Agree, give letter, cash. That's how he settled, understand? And it can be done. So, financial problem actually is no issue. But you borrow loan shark, don't come and see me. Loan shark don't talk to you about bankruptcy. They got their own law. And the way they charge you interest also, they got their own rules. It's not the standard bank one, understand? So that one, you borrow 10,000, every day can snowball. They tell you the interest, sometimes it's by day or no. Sometimes it's by month, not by year or no. They may tell you, okay, 8% can. But you didn't read properly, you need the money. Actually, it's by month. Then when you default, there's a clause or no. Their interest will snowball by day. So all this is what society is. So what I'm trying to let you understand is, all this fear is coming from your own lack of understanding. If you have the understanding, you can resolve issue. Like just now I said, this is your issue, your problem. You put down, no longer burning you, then resolve it amicably. That's why my this Kayamita friend, very close friend, family friend, he is an accountant, he know he can do it. That's why he helped her resolve it. And she was very grateful after that. After that, he tell her, you are a real estate agent, you better sell off your property. Laws also take haircut and solve your problem. Otherwise, no end. You don't go and tell me, wait till the market recover, only I sell. By then, your installment all will snowball again. Then the bank will have another round after you. So that's what the niece did and resolve everything. So to solve problem is very easy when you have clarity, when you put it down. It's no longer burning, tormenting you, no longer creating fear, worry, anxiety, panic. Then that clarity, ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably? You need to ask people you ask. Then those who have the wisdom and honor, they will help you to look at it. The other case, like you guys, another Kaimita man this time, I think 4 or 5 property. Actually, when he bought them, he that time got money on. But then, what happened is, there was one property, no renter. Then, the other 2 property that he helped to buy was for the sister, I think, and the mother. Then, because of that time, the property not easy to sell. Then the renter, there's only one industrial building that has rental. But the renter, cash flow, not enough to pay the installment. Then every month, deficit 5,000 plus. Installment deficit, 5,000 plus. Yeah? No renter and all those things. So he worried until he cannot settle down. Then I see him come to the class, full of worry, not able to focus, concentrate, like a lot of problem. Then I asked one of the other Kayamita that is very close to him. They say he got problem. Then not long, I think that Kayamita told him, I said, ask him to come and see me. Then he came and see me. Then he list out all his problems. Then I look at it. I say, no problem. I say, your industrial lot, rental very low, but you sell that one, you get almost 1 million. No? Then at first he tell me what. No? He say, not easy to sell now, right? I say, please, lah, if you don't put in the effort, how to sell? He said, now cannot sell. Agent tell me cannot sell. Then I say, change the agent. If the agent cannot sell, because there are agents who can, then tell the agent, I really want to sell. So finally, he got an agent with the offer, not that close to what he want, but they try to haggle 50,000. Another, lower it by another 50,000. So not 1 million, but 950, good enough, isn't it? Good enough or not? Once he sell that one, full cash flow come in. No? I say, even if he agree to buy, that 10% is how much? Yeah? 95,000, isn't it? Every month 5,000 plus, let's say 6,000 deficit. It can last you 15 to 16 months already, you know, understand or not? Then you can sleep already, you know, itchy, I could, you know, understand or not? Oh, that's why I finally sell. Then surplus cash flow, you know, pay off the sister's house, no more like installment or something. Then he very happy. After that, no more worry. Oh. Then after that, came and thanked me. I said, but you, now very good, is it? Now I got another property, but joint venture with the lawyer and tangle and all those things. He said, yeah, I sell that one. I financial freedom, no, I can retire. I said, work on it. Then finally it really happened, but coming obstruction, a lot of coming obstruction, and he himself no. That lawyer not easy to deal, corporate lawyer. So these are real life examples that can be resolved. Okay? Yeah. Okay, then we continue.
This stanza has deep meaning. It means that this is the reality because conditions are already set. And if you do not accept what happens, it means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then you suffer because these are nature's conditions. When the causes and conditions are already established, the reality has to be such, not otherwise. Not according to what you want. Not according to one's individual craving and preference. Because these are nature's conditions. It implies that reality is, suchness and truth are. This is the isness of things. It is not your truth or not, and not my truth, because these are the individual's relative truths. Similarly, a situation is neither good nor bad because it is the reality. Things are just the way they are and they have to be such. The same goes with this saying of mine. Living beings are just the way they are and the world is the world. Do remember all these words of wisdom because they all point towards suchness. It is because we live in a conditioned world. So when conditions are like that, things will be like that. That is the reality, and the present moment is the only reality in life. But this present moment is so transient. Split second, it is dead and gone. That is why understanding this present moment awareness is very important. If you are not aware and you are lost in thoughts, how can you understand what is going on in life and what is happening within the moment? How can you know who you are, what life is, what existence is, and what truth is? All these teachings of Dharma are to awaken you to the present moment awareness, which is sati or mindfulness. With sati developed, all these will fall in place. Then your nature will become very different. Once you have that awakening, as I have explained earlier on, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will collapse in front of you. That means the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over you because You have understood that perception of form is consciousness, only mental consciousness, no reality. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. When you are here with the pure awareness nature, you do not perceive anything, because that is the true mind, the silent mind with no thought, nothing, no duality. So how can it perceive? That is why pure awareness or pure perception is to see things as they are, because things are just the way they are. Suchness cannot be otherwise. This is how you can come to a great awakening. Your whole nature just awakens as if there is a sudden explosion of understanding. That is why I said that the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will collapse in front of you. They will have no more power over you, because you have understood that these manifestations are all projected from the mundane mind as consciousness. Hence, there is no reality. It is similar to the blank white screen. When all the lights and sound are projected onto it to create a movie, it can make you emotional and make it appear so real. But when the movie ends, what happens? It is just a blank screen, no reality, empty and not what you think. All these are created thoughts, true causes and conditions, and they can delude living beings. The videos nowadays, including the cinema shows, can all appear to be so real, so enticing and so alluring. That is how they lure your senses, entice you, make you believe it is real, and make you crave for it, fight for it, and then pay to watch it, and even pay to watch it. All this is what life, existence, and creation are. Without awareness and sati, developed from the true mind's direct seeing, you cannot understand all this, and you cannot penetrate all this. That is why you have to bring this phenomenal world of consciousness back to the mundane mind level and seize it by bringing it back to the pure awareness stage. Then, true realization with wisdom, realize Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and the now. That is where the original nature or the source is. It is from there everything comes to be through the four stages of creation as I had explained. That is also what the Surangama Sutra's explanation is all about. It said that from here, the source, the primordial mind comes to be and starts karmic movements until it becomes the phenomenal world of consciousness. Very good, sadhu. Brother Song said, we can see with mindfulness that when psychological time arises, Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 also take their course. At the same time, one can also witness the second right view, citta niyama, which is synonymous with understanding the law of dependent origination occurring, thereby understanding the 12 links. Brother Theo said, yes, then you will also understand the Diamond Sutra's famous stanza, Yi Che Yu Wei Fa. Everything within the conditioned world are conditioned Dharma. This is because psychological time creates the phenomena world of consciousness, the conditioned world of conditioned Dharma, Yu Wei Fa. Then, everything that arises within the conditioned world, which are dreamlike, illusionary, like a bubble, and shadowy, Ru Meng Wan Pao Jing, will become very clear to you.
Ru Meng Wan Pao Jing.
Then, it is followed by
Ru Lu Yi Lu Tian,
like morning dew, and a lightning flash, which is the present moment experiences.
So you see, the present moment, like I say, is so transient. Split second is dead and gone, like lightning or not. Gone, puke, gone. Arise, pass away, arise, pass away. And that is the highest in life, no? The only reality, you know? So how real can life be? If that is the case. So see it clearly. That's why with the direct seeing from the pure awareness, you can see. Then like your direct seeing, pure mind. When you look at something, I told you white paper, put a dot there. You think it's a continuous seeing? No. It's moment to moment focusing. Understand not? Then when you are aware, you can see or no. Certain times the perception not there or no. Because that speed and your eye seeing, they are different now. So certain time when you look, the dot not there or no. Because that is what nature is. So when you continue to see, it's not a continuous perception to see the image. You know. It's moment to moment. No. And every moment you see, certain moment, there is no dot there. Or no. You go and try and see. Then you start to understand, it's not a continuous seeing. No. Means every moment arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. Perception also arise, pass away. But the mundane mind move very fast. That's why the Buddha say, like a lightning flash. Understand? And in the Abhidhamma is mentioned, within the flash of a lightning, our mind is capable of, if I'm not wrong, they talk about like millions of consciousness, mind moment, within a flash. It is capable of that type of speed. So when you have the awareness, you can see, no matter how fast you can see. Understand? But you are not moving. You are the host. All of the phenomenal world activity is within your oneness nature. That's why you can see. So all this is for you to develop wisdom. Okay? Okay, Manya, you read.
Certain phenomena may take a longer time to arise. That is why it is analogous to a morning dew. Finally,
应作如是观,
you must contemplate it thus to develop the profound wisdom of the Diamond Sutra and break free from all dualities. Very good. Mahasadhu. Brother Theo,
you
brother
all don't
Song
know
said,
how to Mahasadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Song said, Brother Theo, today's Dharma sharing is truly profound. Brother Theo answered, yes, that is why when the teaching start to link, more and more profound Dharma will surface. If you are to do this cultivation on your own, it may take you a very long time to reach this level of understanding. That is the reason why the Buddha Sasana and the great beings are very important. Without them, you cannot find all this understanding. If you try to understand on your own, it will take you a very long time. It is just like the gateway to our nature. If I were to look for it by myself, it would take me at least 10 to 15 years to locate it. After that, to go through this nature's transformation, to develop all this understanding, it definitely cannot be achieved in just this lifetime. A lot of hard work have been done in the past to contribute to such possibility. All these are what the Buddha is trying to tell us. When the Buddha Sasana window is there, all these are possible because these great beings, four Pusa, that is the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, are everywhere and their nature is all over. The reason why I like to conduct our annual meditation retreat at the Sampo Temple in Cameron Highlands is because I realize there are a lot of great beings nature there. I came to know about this Sampo Temple in 1989 when I was there attending a 5-day meditation retreat. It was during that retreat my nature connected, and that was how I came to know why that Sampo Temple way place is so conducive for cultivation. That is the reason why I told Brother Sui An back then that it will be the best place to conduct our annual meditation retreat. Finally, we managed to get the temple committee to allow us to have our annual retreat there, despite the fact that we do not have any Buddhist organization representing us at that time. We borrowed SJBA because at that time, Brother Sui An was there together with Brother Chim. We should thank them for that. All this evolved through causes and conditions, and it has manifested and grown to what we have become today. It is really amazing. This is because it is meant to be. Even without an organization, we can still have the permission to conduct all these annual meditation retreats at Sampo Temple in Cameron Highlands since 2013. Brother Song in English translation. Lately, when I listened again to Brother Teo's recent Dharma sharing, my understanding has become totally different. Just like now, when Brother Teo asked me whether I have anything else to add, at that moment, I could not think of anything to add. But when I slowly looked at the written Dharma on the whiteboard, I felt I could link and connect all these Dharma, psychological time, Dhammapada verses 1 and 2, and the 12 links of the law of dependent origination. I was able to understand how they are all related to movements in psychological time. When psychological time starts, all things start. Brother Dio answered, that is why I always share with you that all of the teachings are interconnected. The difficult part is in knowing how to connect and link all these teachings, because they are actually only one teaching. From the Four Noble Truths, the rest spins off from that one teaching. When you have the understanding that the whole teaching and all Dharma are interconnected, you will be amazed that the whole teaching is so very beautiful. That is the marvel of the Buddha Dharma, because it is the truth. It points towards the reality, to its suchness nature. It is related to life. That is why this Dharma is a living Dharma. It can be realized and experienced as a living reality. To have the ability to present and explain all this understanding is not easy, and yet you are able to do so. 20 years ago, in December 2004, Sister Yun Chan, who is one of our pioneer Kalyanamitas, requested that I come out and share the Dharma. I remember that in December of 2004, the deadliest tsunami in history occurred. It created havoc and caused immense destruction and death in 14 countries in Southeast Asia. By this year end, December 2024, it will be exactly 20 years since I started expounding the Dharma. As such, this coming year end, the gathering of Kalyanamitas will be especially meaningful, beautiful and memorable. It will mark the 20th anniversary of my nature coming out to share the Dharma with the world. It also coincides with my 70th birthday. It seems that all this is meant to be. It is as if time has come for the whole teaching to arise and manifest itself. That is why since 2017, the videos, the website, and all the recent special Dharma sharing can come to be. I also remembered that in January 2017, we formed the website committee to set up our Dharma website. In the last 6 to 7 years, all these Dharma sharing books and videos were recorded and stored in our website. Now, we have our own Dharma website, www.brotherteo.com, brotheo.com, which is protected by our annual website security subscription. For all this to arise, we must thank all those who help and make this possible, especially Brother Lau, Brother Sui An, Brother Chin Hao, and Sister Su Yi. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, in the last 7 to 8 years, a lot had transpired. That is why from now onwards, you will start to understand why you have to realize one Dharma door at a time before it can lead you to the next one. Once you understand and realize the significance of the Dharma doors, you will become different. It is as though the wisdom key opens that first Dharma door. When you go in with the understanding you have gained, it will lead you to the next Dharma door and then to the next Dharma door and so forth. When you come to understand that the whole teaching is all connected, it means you already have the master key to open all the Dharma doors. All the Dharma understanding is actually one. It is the entire Dharma teaching of the supreme vehicle in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition. Sister Suyi said, towards the end, when the Surangama Sutra was mentioned, something occurred to me from within and it wanted me to share. From the source, everything arises and we become. The first thing to arise is this pure awareness nature that can be aware of everything, whether we know it or not. And then, the form and mind give us our senses through our physical body as well as the thinking faculty through our mundane mind. From the mundane mind, we create the world, the phenomenal world of consciousness as we know it, as our apparent reality. So I want to share that we think that is the only reality that every one of us agrees with. But this is not always the case. That was a very common misconception that I had all this while. To make that clearer, I will give you an example. If there is a phenomenon of sound, we are either conscious or aware of it. But when we want to try to cognize it and remember what has transpired, we use our ear and then we start to label with our memory. This is a good sound, a bad sound, or a loud sound. It is bad for health, etc. We start to create that conscious experience as our present moment experience, and we label it as our reality. So now, think back to the Surangama Sutra teaching on the mind. For example, we all understand that someone that is deaf cannot hear. So, whilst the people that can hear that sound will say that it is a good sound, it is good for health, etc., there are others who may argue that it is a bad sound, it is bad for health, etc. For the person who cannot hear, his world does not have sound, and so there is no such thing as good sound or bad sound. His reality is very different from other people's reality. Actually, each of them has their own version of their own apparent reality. That is why this apparent reality is unreal. What we know as our life, the so-called highest in life, is unreal. It is only what we think of it, but we hold on to our interpretation and fight over it. That is to say, my version is right, but your version is wrong because of our ego, our pride, our views, and our opinions of things through our greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots, etc., all born of delusion. So actually, if we do not want to fight, we just need to accept that something that can be good can also be bad depending on who is perceiving and from what position and perspective that person is coming from. Everybody can be correct and everybody can be wrong, depending on how you want to interpret and what kind of assumptions you want to take into consideration and how far back in history you want to go. That is why arguing in this conditioned world of apparent reality and duality is really futile. That is what I want to share. Brother Teo answered, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. What Sister Suyi has shared is very good. I would like to add on a bit more to make it more complete. You see, the Surangama Sutra mentioned that perception of form is consciousness. So from here, at the mundane mind level, you perceive them. If you perceive, then through consciousness, you create the phenomenal world of consciousness. That is how dualities arise.
All dualities arise.
That is why perception of form is consciousness, which means it is deluded. Because this consciousness is mundane consciousness that arises through mundane seeing. Before you become enlightened, this thought of consciousness is not the pure awareness, but its non-perception means that from here, at the pure awareness stage, where there is no thought, no duality, nothing, what you perceive is the reality by seeing things as they are. That is why from here, the pure awareness nature, you do not perceive form. Why? Because Kan San Bu Si San, seeing mountain as not mountain, means non-perception. Non-perception is wisdom. This is the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. You do not label. The form that we label comes from the thought process, the memory, the knowledge, your views and the opinions that you hold on to, the meaning that you give to each and every one of this existential world's apparent reality. That is why Sister Suyi said, all the various versions of truth, of realities that living beings perceive are conventional truths, not ultimate truth. Every living being has his or her own views, opinions, conditioning, belief systems, etc. So, how can you expect the world to come to a consensus and develop peace? That is why all discussions on world peace usually end up in wars, in more conflicts, more disharmony and argument. In fact, a lot are due to the evil root of hatred and anger. If you look at the Middle East wars and all the other conflicts that arise within our planet, they arise because of the evil roots of having a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of greed, selfishness and delusion to seek power and authority. All these are evil roots that manifest in the chaotic phenomenal world of consciousness. But living beings still grasp, cling, fight unceasingly, doing a lot of silly things. This is what delusion is. According to the Diamond Sutra, all these are illusions with no reality. Diamond Sutra, 一切有为法, everything within the conditioned world are conditioned dharma.
如梦幻泡影,
everything that arises within the conditioned world are dreamlike, illusionary, like a bubble and shadowy, and hence there is no reality.
如露亦如电,
like a morning dew and a lightning flash, how real can it be?
应作如是观,
you must contemplate thus to develop the profound wisdom of the Diamond Sutra's teaching and break free from all dualities and delusion. The above implies this is an illusory world. That is why the illusory phenomenal world of consciousness and form are not real, because perception of form is consciousness and hence illusory. This phenomenal world of consciousness is like a magician creating all the illusion for you to see, yet you still believe in it. That is why you must develop awareness and go back to this pure awareness nature to see with direct seeing where you do not perceive, to enable you to see things as they are. This means no more duality, no more right and wrong, no more your views, my views, and other people's views. This is because reality is, truth is. It is suchness. Reality is without words, not your truth, not my truth, not other people's truth. All these are our views and opinions of what the world is, but the Dharma is still the only reality. That is why these Dhammapada verses are evergreen. They never become obsolete. This is where the difference lies between the living Dharma and the mundane or knowledge-based Adharma that the world has created through the phenomenal world of consciousness and the thought process. That is why thought-based approach is always knowledge-based. So, thought-based seeing cannot see things as they are and cannot awaken because there is no wisdom. That is why all thought-based doing and learning cannot genuinely develop wisdom. You can only develop more and more knowledge to become more and more sophisticated. Okay, I think we should end here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Song, do you want to summarize before we end? Brother Song through English translation. This evening's Dharma sharing is very deep, profound and wonderful. Brother Theo has shared a lot of very penetrative understanding. If we listen again, it can help awaken our nature. We should listen carefully again and contemplate on the many beautiful Dharma quotes and pointers shared by Brother Theo to stabilize our understanding. Anyone who does it with faith and understanding can awaken. Brother Theo replied, if we can document today's sharing in written form, it is going to be very beautiful. Some parts of the Dharma that I have shared today are beyond the Heart Sutra come meditation classes, short notes, provisional teachings that I had taught you earlier. These Heart Sutra come meditation classes, short notes, provisional teachings are the initial basic understanding of the teaching needed for all of you to go into the higher teachings of the Supreme Vehicle. This teaching is based on the understanding of the higher teachings, and it can let all of you develop a complete grasp of the whole teaching. The sharing today connects and links a lot of very important Dharma and understanding needed for one to have a better grasp of the whole teaching. By now, all of you should realize that everything is interconnected. All these explanations I have written on the whiteboard, including what Sister Suyi has added and shared, can help all of you develop more understanding of the cultivation. That is why there is a stanza in the Surangama Sutra which states that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This statement is so beautiful and so profound. At that time, in 1989, when I read that Surangama Sutra stanza, my nature rejoiced. I said that this stanza is most beautiful because that was what my nature saw. Consciousness is really like a magician, an illusionist with no reality. Then, what is the present moment? It is the only reality and the highest in life, but it is so transient. Split second, it is dead and gone. Split second, it is dead and gone. And yet, that is the only reality in life. So how real can life be? And yet living beings hold on to that illusionary world which has no reality. If the only reality is so transient, how can there be a permanent unchanging entity? Because everything that happens within existence has to be within the present moment. Moment to moment it arises and passes away. It comes and it goes. It appears and disappears. Split second it is dead and gone. So where is the reality? Yet living beings can still cling on to such things in detail, as if everything is so beautiful and so real. But please do understand that our existential world has its own apparent reality and wonderful existence. This existential world, although it is unreal, there is such a thing as life. That is why in the Heart Sutra, there is this saying, in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. 真空妙有.
真空妙有.
But to understand those words, you must realize true emptiness. By then, can existence become truly wonderful? Of course, you can only describe and explain its wonders after you have realized true emptiness and developed true understanding, because only after your awakening can you transcend duality and suffering. Then you can come to this existential world with a form and mind that has this special understanding. This existential world, which has its own mundane reality or what they call life or existence, can be really wonderful and beautiful. There is no suffering at all. That is why in this segment of my present life, when it comes, it is beautiful every moment. Of course, after 1989, when I connected and developed all this understanding, it became even more wonderful and beautiful. When the third phase of Dharma, Pativeda, which is often the direct first-hand realization of the Dharma dawn on me, all this wonderful existence become possible. Every instant, every moment, life is so pristine, wonderful, beautiful, and meaningful. This is what life and existence is all about, although not so real, because everything just comes and goes. Hey, no you, hey, no me. But there is such a thing as Buddha Dharma within the conditioned world. There is such a thing as wonderful existence within the conditioned world. So do not be mistaken by one-sided reality. This is the reason why you have to understand both the unconditioned Dharma and the conditioned Dharma. Only with these two understandings can you truly live life. Otherwise, you cannot live life. To make the Dharma a living reality, you need to understand both the unconditioned Dharma and the conditioned Dharma. So today, we end our sharing here.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Ending, closing puja. Let us rejoice with all the good sharing and the wholesomeness once again. Sadhu,
sadhu,
sadhu. Let us share merits with all beings, starting with the devas, by chanting the closing puja. Now, you can all pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, and we end this session. Appendixes. The four circles formation to explain the stages of creation. Notes. The above four circle formation chart was prepared by Sister Diosui, who helped readers better understanding what had been shared. A Dharma question on understanding the pure awareness nature was extracted from Brother Theo's email dated 23rd March 2024 for further sharing below. Question. My question is, if the pure mind nature can return to the mundane and the phenomenal world of consciousness, then it does not seem to make sense as the person becomes a puttujana again. Answer by Brother Theo. The pure awareness nature or the pure mind is a nature, and it does not fall or return to the mundane and the phenomenal world of consciousness. The mundane mind arising from this pure awareness nature is dependent origination, originating. It is a byproduct of that nature, and it arises through the karmic process. You must get this right, and then you will understand better. Otherwise, your doubt will continue. To understand what I have shared, you need to develop a very stable, pure awareness nature and cultivate diligently to awaken. Hope this helps. Extracted from Brother Theo's email.
Okay, thank you. Very good. So now, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, we still have 45 minutes. Okay, we open for question. Sui. Do you got any question you can ask?
It's just that the last question I remember always prompted one misconception, which is that the four circles are four different phases a person goes through. Actually, no, that is not. All four circles are running and responding at the same time. The form and mind, So just want to point that
out. Very good. Yeah. Mm. You see, a better way to understand it, because the person who asked the question, you realize the question is very logical. I know, linear question, but it's very logical, isn't it? Because you know why? He thought this one is him. He thought this one can fall back. He said, from here, it fall back. That doesn't sound right, isn't it? Enlightened already, can go back. Because the delusion, the scarcity, he still think of a personality, an unchanging personality or anything. Like Sui know is linear, understand? Linear means what? You have to have a form and mind only, this one come, understand? Through the karmic nature, the karmic process. Then when this one come, the form and mind, You must know how to meditate to locate this one. This one is unborn. Understand? Primordial, all the time there. How can this one fall back? Understand? That's why when you don't understand. That's why I say this one is a nature. It's not a being. Understand? And from this nature, all things arise. Understand? We are all the mundane thinking, psychological time. That's why we live in a universe that is very, very unique. Because of consciousness, all the universe can become so immense because from consciousness it arises. So this is the beginning of creation. But like the Buddha said, please don't try to find out the answer. He said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned you all the way to become what you are, so sophisticated. Because unless you are Samma Sambuddha, you cannot understand. But that one is not you, no. Initially, you read the Surangama Sutta, it's mentioned, but not easy to understand. Initially, from this one, actually nothing happened. But because this one, the first thing to come out is this, so this one started the first pure, what they call consciousness, but with a little bit of delusion, means like tinted, understand? They call it there is a word they use, I forgot already. When I remember, I tell you. So that one is the first one, still pure, understand? Then it conditioned, it continued to condition, until it is strong enough to create a form. Then the form trigger off the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you become the traveler in space and time. And all this happen, every of these living beings, you got billions and billions of all this so-called segmented life that you have come through the karmic process. You have to trace back to the first one, no? Of how it started, no? You think without being a Samma Sambuddha, you can understand that. That's why he said, don't go and think about it. He said, inconceivable is the beginning of that first thought. I remember. Primordial darkness. You know a primordial darkness. This is the primordial original. Then suddenly, it stirred. Understand? Then there is a little bit of darkness. Understand? No longer that pure consciousness, because a little bit of content went in, which is could be nature's movement. And then from there, it started the process, understand? Until this thing, primordial darkness, slowly evolved and become sophisticated enough or complex enough to form a form and mind, understand? And then the form and mind start. Then through the thought, which is energy, they created the form. Understand? There's an external form like Einstein. Einstein came out with this formula. E equals mc squared. C is the speed of light. Yeah? So this mass are trapped energy. Understand? Whatever your mass, square of the speed of light. Speed of light is a very big figure, though. 186,000 miles per second, though. And square of that, though, that figure is very big. That's why all this explain to you that this is form. Understand? This is energy. Energy come from what? Mass times the C square. So from energy, it can crystallize into mass. Understand? That's why the planet, the star system, all those things with the nuclear reaction, all. Basically, it's energy. Understand? Then when the star create the, what they call, nuclear reaction from the star internal, it send out very powerful, what they call rays, and traces of element, understand? And this is the one that actually went into space. And when it went into space, it collects somewhere. That's why it slowly, slowly snowball and form planets. That's how planets come about. Then planets, they get drawn by the sun. That's why they evolve around the sun. But the sun itself also evolves around a bigger system, Milky Way and all those things. Now the scientists know from what they see in the Hubble telescope, and now it's a more powerful one. Now it's what? Webb, James Webb. Then later, I think within a year or two, China got one bigger one. Very big one. So all this can observe, you know, although they are not the true mind, but they can observe, you know why? It's very far away, you know. And this telescope is like the true mind, or the host, you know. From here, he didn't do anything, you know. He observed and received all the sense data, you know. Then he processed it through the computer, you know. Then they know, you know, where got black hole, where don't have black hole, and how all this movement. It seems they say our Milky Way is being drawn into a very, very far, very dense star system. They call it the Andromeda, or what, I forgot the name. So all these things come about because of, initially, consciousness. Consciousness as energy, understand? But the world's problem is, when it becomes the form and mind, through delusion, through the karmic process, it continues to make the thing more and more sophisticated. No? Then they when they become living being, like, take for example our human being, okay? Human being. We develop what they call brain, understand? Brain activity. Then we develop knowledge. Then we study how this nature's law within the existential world has its own physics, chemistry, biology. That's why the Uttu Niyama, the Bija Niyama, the nature's law that governs life and existence are the physical law of nature, scientific law. Uttu Niyama means the physical law that governs all physical things. Bija Niyama is biological law that governs all of biological things, things that have life, cells, and all those things. So now you can understand. Then from there, they study, because the brain can start, we all go through, we know, they come out with university, research, then all the, what they call, paper, then they share information, then they start to understand how all this universe come about. So they use thought, they use science and technology. Then from there, they realize the more they probe, the more they know, the more they don't know. Because they cannot get the answer right. Every time something missing. The reason being, the scientists only use this to probe, understand? The thought. They don't know how to meditate to go here. And this is where the missing link is. Because this one is very powerful, understand? This one is the one that is creating all this. That's why they now talk about dark energy, cannot see. Then this dark energy within the universe is a very big portion of the totality of what they can observe. That's why they cannot understand how come, because they have a way to work out now. For the universe to expand at this rate, which they can see and they can calculate, you need a lot of mass and matter to generate this movement. No? But what they can see, observable one, is about 20 or 25%, right? About 75% cannot be observed. No? So they say cannot be observed means what? Dark matter. Actually, all the black hole are like dark matter. Light also cannot come out, understand or not? But it will take them a long, long time until human beings know how to meditate and go in here. Understand? Then return to here. Then you know the missing link is the pure awareness nature. This one, together with the understanding of the mundane mind, how all this more, then you can come out with better understanding. But you ask the scientist to meditate and go here, very little chance. Understand? Yeah. But there may be some who come as bodhisattva. They want to probe this and help mankind, humanity. Yeah. Then they come. Yeah. Like, why my nature wants to be an engineer? So that I can understand all this. That's why, for me, the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. So it will evolve. Let it evolve. That's why I say the totality of consciousness, they will move. Then there is a famous saying, one is all. All is one. You heard of it or not? Yeah. You know how to explain it? Yeah. Okay, I give you an example, Emily. All of your, every segment of us, we are just one human being. No? Understand? No? Let's say, don't quote me. No? You quote the Buddhajana, not enlightened. No? Yeah? Not even Kayamita. They may think that they are very insignificant. No? Yeah, they don't know how to meditate. They don't know the Dhamma. So, like, they are very insignificant. No? Because every time form and mind, the coming process keep on coming. Then they think insignificant. No? But do you know this universe is what it is because of that guy. Understand? No? If that guy don't exist, a lot of things he interact with cannot happen now. Then the world or the universe will not be what it is today. No? And that is only this life. No? All his previous life, you know, he entangled how many? Although one guy, and the universe is so immense, no? Even our planet, we got 8 over million, and this is only human being, no? What about non-human? What about animals and all those things? That's why the universe is very immense. Unless you go the Bodhisattva way, you cannot comprehend all this one. But if you go this way and you develop the understanding, then you will know. One is all is one. Well, each and every of these conditions are the causes and conditions for the evolution and the movement to be what it is. Understand? Not? Any of these you take out, gone already. No more already. Like Malaysia, you take out one of the prime minister, Malaysia will not be what it is today. Understand? Not? Actually, no need to take out one prime minister. You take out all those who do nonsense one, Malaysia will be very different. Understand? Not? So, when you have the understanding, then you will know why the teaching is like that. If you use your logical mundane mind, cannot understand that. How can one is all is one? You cannot get the answer. But if you have gone through this understanding, cultivation, then you will understand. Oh, he say interdependent. No, interbeing is actually based on interdependent. Interdependent means everything is interdependent. It's another word for dependent originating. Never mind, not important. Understand? Because he may use word that he understand, but you all interpret it differently. Because he has this, what they call sharing at that time. Because at that time, he was very popular, very famous in the early days. Then he stayed in, I think, Europe. Yeah. Then a lot of even Malaysian Buddhists, they got his book. You use the word interbeing. Maybe that book write interbeing. But what he's trying to explain to you is interdependent. Understand? Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of law. Everything is linked and connected. Yeah. So, if he say interbeing means it link only the beings. Understand? You understand? Then what about the universe that are not living beings? You cannot link. Understand? Interdependent means everything, like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. They are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Where this is a existential world. Condition arising world. Okay? So this understanding is very important. But this word is very powerful. condition world, existential world. That's why Diamond Sutta says, 一切有为法. Everything within that condition world or existential world is conditioned Dhamma. Understand not? Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So when you understand this, then you will straight away have the profound understanding that whatever thing happens at any one time, the condition, causes and conditions already set, thing has to move that direction, understand not? That is the reality. When you penetrate that, you penetrate the Buddha's teaching. Then you can come to terms with the reality. Then, like Sui realized, just now he said, everyone perceives differently, understand? All the beings perceive differently. So your own apparent reality, understand? But the truth is, there is only one reality, understand? The nature's law that governs life existence. This is the only truth, the only reality. That's why this one is suchness. This is the reality. Ta-ta-ta. Understand not? Thing is just the way it is. Not your perception or your apparent view or concept of what this thing is. If you want thing your way, which is not in accordance with nature's laws manifestation, then you suffer. Understand not? So your apparent reality is whole life make you busong. Understand not? But that is your apparent reality. Then you got all the duality, the idea, your views and opinion, your so-called moral principles, understand not? Then you also have your own, what they call tradition, that say you must be patriotic, understand not? You must be obedient. All these are concept and idea introduced by the thought process, understand not? But the reality is, what is flowing and moving at any one time is due to causes and conditions. That's it. And if that one you cannot accept, you will suffer. You want things your way, which cannot be allowed by nature's movement. Understand? So always remember, you are just one minute flow. Your opinion is not important. Understand? Your opinion creates your own suffering. But it's not the truth. Understand? But when you awaken, when you understand this law, then you can, like the Buddha, think it's just the way it is. Understand? Condition like that, things will be like, then the acceptance become very easy. But living being different, no, they use the thought, no. Everything also accept, men chou ming kia. Understand? They will tell you like that. The fellow already make me so miserable, you say accept him for what he is. But they don't listen properly. That's why I say, don't quote me. When I say accept means understand the real condition behind. Because this existential world is like that. Condition like that, things will happen. If you don't accept, you suffer. Because the universal characteristic is impermanent. Because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Then all this follow the Panchayanayama. You want thing your way, there is a clarity. Understand? The ego that want, because there is craving. You are selfish. So all your thought activity is based on that sakayadity that wants to have benefit, advantage, and based on your ideal. Understand? Your ideology, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your beliefs. And from here you act. And this is all in your brain. Understand? To me, it's rubbish. Understand? Because this one is thought, knowledge, cannot have wisdom. So, hopefully, more and more clear. Understand? Yeah.
Sister Tree has a question. Brother Teo, on page 58, end of paragraph 2, Sister Manyuan read, "Its non-perception is wisdom." I seem to understand that pure awareness nature is itself wisdom. Is that correct? Your explanation is appreciated. Thank you.
Okay.
Then there's a follow-up message. We can return...
Okay, this one is very good. This one is very good. Thank you for the good question. Not easy to understand. You all cannot understand. Understand? She say, this pure awareness, sir? Is this pure awareness wisdom? No, nothing inside there, understand? But this one can see things as they are, understand? But because it's connected to the form and mind, that's why this follow very important. This follow connected to it. Then this follow, based on this, this one is like the Hubble telescope and the web. What web? James Webb. This one, the host can see. But you need who? The form and mind are the scientists, isn't it? To interpret all this, but they interpret knowledge, not wisdom. But this form and mind, if they really have the understanding, you don't go and think and try to come up with answer. You just silent, stay here. Then you observe through the Hubble telescope and the Weibo, you understand better. Understand? But all the movement already fixed, understand? And from there, that's why the scientists use the computer to help them to process. That's why they know. They got more understanding and more knowledge. But that is not spiritual understanding wisdom, no. But this one, the form and mind, when you cultivate with this, you don't need to see through telescope, no. You see things as they are, no. That's why you develop the wisdom to awaken. And this wisdom can only come about after the form and mind access to this, understand, no. Stay here. Means from here to here, the thought very fast. But it's still the same form am I behind as well. It's either you are here or you are lost in thought. Understand? When you are here, you are the host, sitting as they are. But it's not a being. Understand? Then you develop the understanding. Understand? Then you know how you busok. Understand? How you got fear. How you react and stir. Then you realize all this happened because this fellow got sakayaditi, understand? Then this fellow straightened his view, understand? Then realizes itself and sees. That's why I use this one, draw. The wisdom is connected. After the direct seeing, after you awaken, the form am I awakened, it has this wisdom connected to this form am I, understand? As long as this form am I is around, this wisdom cannot go off, understand? You always, that's why I say, you don't need to remember. It's always there. Understand? But when this form and mind pass away, what happened? This one also gone. Understand? It's connected to it. You cannot say, hey, brother, past life, I already have this wisdom. Why future birth I don't have? Even Bodhisattva come also, like initially, Eckhart Tolle also suffered for 20 over years. Depression. Then only he connect, then he come out. Then when I come, I was an ordinary form of mind. But because of my spiritual nature and my karmic nature, I can understand things. When I was very young, I already had that clarity. But when I was born, my mother and my grandmother told me, for the first 5 years, I don't have thought processor. I don't have thought processor. Then I very quiet, very naive, very cute. Then my grandmother thought I dumb, cannot talk, means what? Dumb. In Hakka, he called Alo. So he called me Alo. Means dumb. Then later on, when I went to school, then he realized I got a lot of friends. He's not dumb. He can go to school. So you can actually make use of the karmic nature and the spiritual nature you have cultivated before, because the karmic nature is the first one to support you. Because the moment you are born with a form in mind, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, you are what you are because of karma. Understand not? Straight away imprint there. But spiritual nature, different now. Spiritual nature, I only write karmic nature. I didn't write spiritual nature. Spiritual nature. So this one, spiritual nature, you cannot inherit until you touch this fellow. Understand that? You have to develop a silent mind cultivation until you touch this fellow. Then automatic you inherit. Yeah. That's why after 1989, all this that I cultivated before came back. That's why I told you all, a lot of things this life I never learned. My guide and teacher also never teach me. But how can I understand? It's because from here it comes. Understand? This karmic nature is the moment you are born, the moment you are born, you are already here. Understand? Because this one working all the time. The moment the form of mind come out, you are born of your karma, add your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So this is the big difference between spiritual nature and karmic nature. Okay? So hopefully Chui can understand. Chui, okay?
Brother Teo?
Yes.
Thank you for that explanation. That second part which Sui tried to read but didn't get through was, so when we can return to the pure awareness nature, the form and the mind can exist with wisdom.
Return. You silence your mind.
Yeah.
You silence your mind. The moment you are without thought, that true mind was all the time there, understand? But the first thing to come out is that. Understand not? You don't return to that. You can, the form and mind can do only one thing at a time. Either you are aware without thought, then you are with the true mind, understand? Or you are lost in thought. You understand? Nobody return, understand not? But when you are without thought, you can see things as they are. I use the word you is because that nature has its karmic form and mind. So, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition. That refers to the form and mind, understand not? Five aggregate. That is subject to karma. But that one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That one is not you. That's why people get confused. They think the Buddha also quote you or all of living beings, they are born of their karma. Means there is a self there. No, he's referring to the form and mind. The form and mind, although not real, but is an entity linked to your karmic nature. Understand? Every segment you come. That's why that one is part of your existence. Means part of your karmic process. Even though not a permanent and changing entity, but in the existential world, it is you, understand not? Because that one is subject to law of karma. Can follow or not, Jui?
Yeah, actually, maybe I didn't do the right thing. That I just assumed that we can only go back in that sense, only in the silent mind. If we don't have the silent mind, it is impossible for the mundane mind to access this pure awareness because it's blocked by our thoughts and our, like you said, the duality. Okay. So I'm sorry, I didn't...
No problem, Jui. I think you have a good question. This one clarifies a lot of things. You listen. That mundane mind, is actually the karmically conditioned form of mind. Understand? Before that, the baby don't have memory, everything. You are actually only with that pure awareness. Understand? But they don't have any knowledge or inkling of what that is. Because the baby got no knowledge. Understand? But as you develop the knowledge, the what they call conditioning, and slowly you grew up, conditioned by the person who look after you, conditioned by all the, initially, you start to learn from your parent, is it? They teach you. Then you go to kindergarten, you go to school, then later on, society, and so on. Then the media, last time is newspaper. Then now, handphone. And so on. All the multimedia and whatever. They start to condition you. And you have become so conditioned until you only know that there is the thought process and the brain, the memory, the knowledge. And because of that, you hardly know that you have that true mind. And the true mind actually very funny one. All the time there. The moment you are without thought, not obscure, that one manifests. So you cannot say that true mind and the mundane mind are two different entities. Understand? They are actually one entity. Understand? One entity in the sense that without thought, the other one manifests. Understand? But the other one, the true mind, was there all the time. When you are a baby, you are with that. But after they teach you all those so-called knowledge, the conditioning, the belief system, then you generate another memory that has all these accumulated views, opinion. Now, Eng Bi Say One come out already. Views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, everything. From there you act, understand? That's why you forever lost in thought, involved with the mundane thinking, psychological movement, psychological memory. Okay? So, physical time, psychological time, psychological time is thought process. So when you are so engrossed through delusion, you can never know that you have to stop all this psychological thinking. Then only you can realize that. Only those who have gone through the cultivation, they have the understanding, can tell you that. That's why I say silent. Learn to decondition your heedless thinking. Then everything will fall back, understand now, and return to its original state before the stirring. So when you are with that pure awareness, true mind, doesn't mean that this one is different from the one that is lost in thought. You understand now? That's why I told you what. Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are fully aware within the moment without thought, or lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think. Understand? So this is either or, understand? Means this form of mind can actually stay there or stay here. Understand? That is the uniqueness of the karmic vehicle and tool that come. Understand? Because the first thing that it can come out is that it actually at birth, from that Buddha nature or oneness nature, that pure awareness nature inside there already. It is the primordial, original nature. Before things come out, before the creation, it was there already. But later on, the conditioning, the thought process, the psychological memory, the accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, all these things make it sophisticated and deluded. That's why from there, it lost its ability to know that originally he has none of all this. But because you need to live life, that's why you need to accumulate through the thought process, through consciousness, to learn all these things, knowledge. That's why the karmic process come about. We are this nature's law very funny. You know? If you want you to experience the law of karma, the karmic process through nature's law have to be like that. It has to create a physical form for you, then a consciousness trap inside. Understand? Then you can experience karmic, understand? Because it's not governed by you, understand? The law of karma condition you. You are born of it, air to it, condition and support, and you are what you are because of it. So, your consciousness trapped inside, you got no choice. Without wisdom, you cannot free. That's why you need wisdom. Then suffering need not be. That's why you need the Sammasambuddha to come and give you this teaching. If you are not perfected all this, actually you cannot understand all this. Despite my best to try to share and explain everything until it's very simple, very clear. But I realize still a lot of things need to be like clarified. You need to ask questions like Chewy Elders is very good. You may think that this one is because he's still at the thought level. No. Because there is this conditioning. Yeah? The conditioning is because you have been like living in this world for so long, the habitual tendency is still there. You know? Habitual tendency that want to use logical thinking to understand that it's beyond. You know? Understand? If you don't have that cultivation, you cannot comprehend Then you use logical thinking to analyze and try to come out with the understanding. That's why she is very tactful. He said, Brother Teo, I hope you can help explain. And that is very good, understand or not? Otherwise, you cannot learn, understand or not? So, Chui, now understand.
Yes, Brother Teo, thank you very much.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
And all our friends here who have all added to our learning.
Yeah. That's why this questioning is very good. The way you ask is very useful. Because these are cultivators' questions, like MB said. You need a lot of clarification. But these are so new to you, understand? Understand? Although, explain until so clear now. You know why I say so clear? But this type of evolution, since from the source hour, cannot be explained or not, understand? Or? And yet, I can come out with a four circle formation because I already have the understanding that is very stable. Otherwise, I cannot do it. Then the Trinity Triangle also. Because how can you explain meditation with a triangle? Understand? Or? The two direction. Unless you have cultivated until very stable, you cannot. Then to explain, spontaneous the question comes, cannot go to memory and check on or search on. The understanding there never disappear. You know why it never disappear? Because every life you come, let's say you stay here, you do the sainthood, you develop the wisdom to free, no more sakaya ditti. You know what happened? After that, you don't inherit from here. You understand not? The spiritual nature. You don't inherit from here. You think how much wisdom they have? Enough to free you only, you know. Understand not? You ask them to explain this. They haven't even done it, you know. How to explain to you? You understand not? Not easy. Then a person who have actually initially maybe developed some stability, then they start to inherit. Initially, if they have not cultivated before, you don't have that nature, what you inherit is whatever that you have cultivated. No? Sometimes it could be very little, no? Because to have this spiritual nature is not easy. You have to go through long period of cultivation, the Bodhisattva way. So without this, that's why, they cannot go further, understand? Then whatever wisdom they have, you cannot blame the Maya for saying the sainthood way, arahana, superficial wisdom, understand? They use that word, no, superficial wisdom. No. You cannot blame them, understand? Because when you really look at it, really, but enough to free, no more suffering, no more avijja, understand? The 10 factors all gone. So because of Jewish question, now I can explain all this. Okay?
Brother Teo, can I just, if you wish, can I, Brother Teo, can you hear me?
Yes, can.
Okay, I was thinking if you would like to know how I got into all this, I can share you a very simple thing about how I went back to true nature, so to speak. I didn't even think about it. Every year, I'm in Australia for 2 to 3 months a year at one time. That's before the COVID.
Yeah.
And my family are all great walkers.
Every
morning, 5:30, we walk. And we walk because of the environment they live in. We go into the nature and we walk. We don't talk very much. We just walk and we walk into the nature. I didn't think much about it. But when I came home the last time, just before the COVID started, I realized that it was making a difference to the way I look at things. And that's all. I didn't do anything much. Then in 2022, before, I think around that time, I went on a retreat here. And there was a nun there. And suddenly I felt, I didn't do anything. I just meditated, did walking and everything like that. I didn't know that that sort of stilling of the mind was so strong that I went into an empty state of mind, silent, but it wasn't truly empty at that time because the mind went out and suddenly asked, what next? The minute I heard the thought saying, what next, I knew it was not, the true silent mind. So then I went back again. I did nothing and just continued. Don't care about anything else. And then towards the end of the retreat, suddenly I saw that there was no thought and I was moving. It wasn't me. It was just the form and mind moving. I don't know whether it's true
good.
Or not.
Sadhu, you can see that it's very good.
And then I could see.
No, because when you have a glimpse of the true mind, the silent mind, you will know that there is no thought, completely without thought. But there is a essence of mind there, the awareness of nature is there. Understand? That's why I ask you all to inquire, without thought, who are you? And just now you mentioned the word like, it's not you, understand? Because you cannot know who are you. Within there, you are actually nothing. Completely nothing. But the pure awareness of nature is not a being. It's an unconditioned, no word, nothing. So you cannot formulate a thought. Earlier on, you formulate a thought means you went into absorption. It's not a free mind. Some form of absorption or concentration means you feel very peaceful, very calm, like no thought. But that one is a conditioned state.
Yes.
Then when towards the end of the retreat, maybe you are more relaxed already, understand? Then because of your maybe meant to be or what, then the condition fall into place that let you have a glimpse of what this thing is.
Not only that, when I looked at other people around, they were just beings walking around. I don't even know what they were. I'm sure I heard them, but I just never even thought about it. It's just people walking, doing their thing. So that was the end of the story. And that happened for maybe about only 2-3 minutes only. It doesn't happen that long.
That is the awareness that is aware. But you have to actually go deeper because the training to be aware is just the beginning.
Yes.
Then you have to use it to trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively develop the wisdom to free. That process take a while. And so,
then when I went home, of course I stay by myself. So I don't. There's no need to talk to anybody. You just see yourself doing what you have to do. That's all, you know. And then suddenly I saw that things were just there, but they are not really. They may be an illusion as far as I knew. You know, the table, the chair, the I don't know what. It's
I know.
All there.
That is what will happen when you are able to be more aware, more mindful. Then this thing will manifest. But you have to have the inquiry, second turning inquiry, understand? Otherwise, the real wisdom cannot arise. That's why you need the teaching to inquire under the second turning to trigger off the wisdom which we call yoniso manasikara. Then only you can root out the defilement, understand? Otherwise, you cannot retrospectively reverse it. What is happening to you is you have some moment and glimpse of this pure awareness nature, but you don't know what it is and you don't know how to make use of it. So don't worry. Now with all this book that you helped me to transcribe, you read, you become different. Then when you understand, you progress very fast. Understand?
In that moment when I saw all these things happen, it's as though time stood still for me. Just for
that
a
one,
short
Jui,
moment.
Jui, that one is what you experience when the mind suddenly become that state. But that one is not the wisdom. Understand? The wisdom is you were insight into phenomenon. Then the universal characteristic like you awaken on every phenomenon is like that one. Because you cannot explain that. That's why you have not done it. That's why now I teach you an easier way is to reflect and contemplate and inquire, do the second turning until the understanding stabilizes. Then after that, because you have to write the book, you have the parami and understand, you read through. Now you read again. Then just go and do, following what I advise and explain. Then you will become different. Understand not, Jui?
Thank you, Brother Jui.
I think
the book came at the time.
Yeah.
This is the right moment, so it was not difficult for me to put it together.
Correct.
I have my own habitual tendencies, grumble here and there, get it done. You know, but still, it still served that purpose.
Oh, definitely.
And you know, and then now things change somewhat. That's what I mean. And that
when you can change based on your latest understanding to straighten your view. That is the beginning of transformation. Understand? If you cannot straighten your view, means you cannot change. A very easy way to understand is, based on our retreat this time, what did we actually share and emphasize on? To develop the wisdom to see things as they are, understand? To accept the reality of the moment. Suchness, ta-ta-ta, the isness of things. And this one is based on the Buddha's teaching. Whatever arises, there are causes. And you contemplate into this. When you understand that wisdom come out, then you check in daily life.
Okay.
See whether you still bosong or not, stir or not.
I'm doing that now.
Very good, Sadhu. Then when you aware you bosong, means what? Whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, no, listen, whenever you are not happy and not peaceful, even the slightest, means the wrong thought is still there, means not rooted out. But never mind, take your time. Because that wisdom, like you say, with the habitual tendency, you will stir, you will react. It's not so far. But when you really listen attentively what we share this retreat, we are now the focus is, to let Kayamita have the clear understanding of what is, understand not? What the Buddha meant by learn to see things as they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. And that is the wisdom that can penetrate the Sakaya Ditti, root out all the defilement. And when you do that, you straighten your view, understand? You no longer hold that views, opinion, belief system, tradition, patriotism, all those things gone. Understand? Otherwise, you every time stir your mind, reactive. Well, that Sakaya Ditti cannot be rooted out. And to root that out, you need wisdom. And then when you have wisdom, when your awareness stabilized, it becomes very sensitive. The moment you see something or perceive something, that yoniso manasikara, the wisdom at the moment of sense appear, where you contemplated enough already. He is just the way he is. The world is the world. Condition things that then you can accept. And the moment you accept, you don't stir your mind. Means what? You have more space between thought. That's how all the step 4 and step 5 of Avijja Sutta manage to surface. Understand? Not? After you have yoniso manasikara, that is step 4. Then after that, step 5 is sati sampajana. Your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension become very stable. And then after that, the next step is 6, which is sense restraint. Now when you can do that, I rejoin, I sadhu you. Means you already caught him. Understand?
But Brother Teo, I also use the 4 Brahma Viharas to help
then, to assist your mind state. But more important is the understanding, the yonisomana. Once you stable there, your mind will not stir that often. Understand? Maybe initially, habitually, understand? Of course, no sound. Like the fear or the anger or the bosong come out. Then after that, subside. Understand? Because the yonisomana is going to prompt you. Then you know all this unreal. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. So, empty nature, not so real. As real it can be, within the moment which is so transient. And everything is mind-made. Externally, at the form level, already not so real, dependent originating. Then how do you know that thing? Through your consciousness, your perception. And what is consciousness, perception? Like the cinema show, just images, come and go, come and go, come and go. How real can that be? Externally already, dependent originating, not so real, like the block guard energy. Then how do you know it's a block guard? Through your image in your brain. That is even more unreal, understand? Then when this one stabilizes, everything you see, your mind cannot stir already. That is the real understanding. Otherwise, you all may be conditioned by what the book write. The book write, wow, you're seeing transform. Oh, you can hear people's footsteps and see them like a form and mind only. Zoom. That one to me is still a knowledge, a concept. Because that one is not wisdom. That one cannot root out defilement. Refoulement, always remember, only wisdom free. Understand?
Sadhu. And then lastly, I think you have talked about the three characteristics. And one of the most important one for my purpose at the moment. I mean, they are all equally as important. The anicca thing.
That one very easy to see. Don't do anything. Stay
down,
there.
You see, we can see. I can see that slowly coming down, but not quite. It's still, all this is still work in progress. No,
definitely, because when you complete this silence, without thought, then you just observe. But you need the initial wisdom to actually stabilize first. When the initial wisdom stabilizes, it prepares you to receive truth. Then only, that's why I advise you to contemplate, reflect, and inquire. Then only during the third turning, which is bhavana paya panya, means the meditative training, at the pure awareness level, then that movement from that phenomena external, it can trigger that awakening. Means you suddenly, because of that movement, the wisdom manifests and you insight into phenomena. Then the three characteristics like suddenly understood. Like song day all. Song today, I think lunchtime. He also told me. He said, Matthew, nowadays so different. He said, inside here already like very clear. Then when he went to the great being, the forehead here, there is a what they call ray. You call what? Not light ray. He said that thing shine for like understood already. Understood. Then he realized everything that he read out now so clear. Now that one is the real understanding. Otherwise, you cling on to the experience. Wow, you can do this, you can do that. These are experiences. Understand now? Mind state, meditative state, but not wisdom. Wisdom is to have the ability to comprehend. And the comprehension is at the heart there on. The pure awareness, nature, listening on. The vibration go in on. And that one is mind to mind. Then he just laughs. Because that is the way nature is. That is the way cultivator that has this ability will awaken. And the transformation and all those things. Later you can ask Song to share tomorrow. Tomorrow everybody given a chance to share. Understand not? It's the last day already before we go back. So we give you the opportunity to share whatever you have like benefited or learned from this retreat. Then also give us some suggestion if you find something not in order that you can improve on. Then also at the same time, to report to the group so that whatever you have experienced, developed as understanding, this one can give faith to all the other Kayamita. That's how Kayamita support, counsel, encourage, and motivate each and every kaya metta to develop the understanding and move together. Because as a collective sharing, you learn faster, understand? Not? You can learn from other people's experience, how they progress and all that. Then you start to understand everyone is different. Okay. Ah, very good. Sadhu, sadhu. Ah, so tomorrow, ah, tomorrow. Ah. Okay? Ah, Chui, we have to end already. We have time for
dinner.
Yeah, thank you. Ah, sadhu.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.